The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Eugenia Asunadu Sechi.
In the headlines, EC appeals to NHIS registrants whose names have been deleted from electoral roll to go and re-register. Power Ministry takes delivery of more than 5,000 barrels of light crude to fire plants to ease erratic power supply. President Mahama inaugurates a 9-member board of directors for Ghana Exim Bank. Ghana National Fire Service denies mass resignation within the service, and Turkish president declares 3-month state of emergency following failed coup. The news in detail. Deputy Head of Communication at the Electoral Commission, Yusuf Al-Hassan Ayuba, has appealed to NHIS registrants who have their names deleted from the voters' register to go and re-register. He said failure to re-register means they will not have the opportunity to exercise their franchise in the November polls. Mr. Ayuba said the list of the affected voters have been pasted at the exhibition centers for easier identification. He spoke to Agatha Zappa.
We are pleading with them to make it a time to do so, because we've given them up to the 28th. And so if they don't go there to get their names to re-register, then it means that they will not have the opportunity to vote come the general election.
And in some cases, some argue that they don't even know the district offices where they are sited.
I'm sure if you ask any of the exhibition officers, they should be able to show you where a district office is sited.
How about the argument or the suggestion that the EC should rather change the list of those whose names have been deleted at the exhibition centers for the electors to verify and re-register there?
That is exactly what we are doing. I just received the word this morning, so I'm sure tomorrow morning, if you go to any of the exhibition centers in Greater Accra, you see the list there. Northern, Upper East, Upper West, you see fairs during the weekend. I'm sure if you get to the fairs exhibition centers, you'll find the list of NHIS registrants. Because this time we've added their pictures, the list that we are sending to the various exhibition centers for easy identification. The issue is that if you are not aware that such an exercise is ongoing, then that is a genuine concern. That if you are aware and you decide not to go, we cannot ask you to go to the center. So we are just appealing to them that once they are aware that their names have been deleted, they should make it a point. There is a civic responsibility for them to get their names in the register so that they can vote.
Deputy Head of Communication at the Electoral Commission, Yusuf Al-Hassan Ayuba.
Flag bearer of the CPP, Ivor Kobnak Greenstreet, says a future CPP government under his administration will usher in a golden age of opportunities for all Ghanaians. He says the time has come for Ghana to return to Dr. Kwame Nkrumah's principle of self-reliance that will lead to job creation for the teeming underemployed youth and women. Mr. Greenstreet said this when he addressed party supporters and sympathizers at Asiwa in the Busome Frehun, Konongo in the Asante Achim Central, and Kumewu and Efidiase Asokore constituencies on the second day of a 6-day tour of the Ashanti region. He said there is a need for change in the economic policies that have so far been employed by the government and the NPP, and that it is only the CPP that can bring them to fruition. Mr. Greenstreet noted that both the NPP and NDC have given politicians a bad name because they have disappointed Ghanaians with their broken promises and failure to offer hope to them. He emphasized that Ghana's only hope is in the CPP. According to him, it was the CPP through Dr. Kwame Nkrumah that brought political emancipation to Ghana, and that it is the same party through his presidency that true economic development would come to Ghanaians.
The IGP, John Kudalo, has expressed satisfaction with the police preparedness towards the November general election. The IGP is on the tour of the regional police commands nationwide to assess their readiness towards security issues on the election day. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Director of Public Affairs of the Police Service, Superintendent Sivas Aga, said the IGP has held discussions with some of the regional ministers and heads of the regional commands to deepen collaboration at ensuring smooth elections.
The IGP is touring the entire country to assess the readiness of its men and women for the general election. As part of measures the police has put in place to deliver the election peacefully, the IGP has lined up activities including dialogue series, visit to his charges in the regions and others. We are on a leg, but this is about our ninth leg. We just finished the ninth region, which is the eastern region. The IGP visits the various regional commands to meet with the personnel of the region, to hold discussion as to their preparedness for the elections, listen to their concerns, issues bordering on welfare, issues bordering on their interests, so as to ensure that they are in the right frame of mind to be able to deliver. He also assesses the logistical and equipment standing of these various commands, and by so doing, assess their general preparedness for the election. Wherever he goes, he uses the opportunity to visit the regional minister and the overlords, the traditional rulers of the area. So we just finished with Foridia, the eastern region, where he called on the eastern regional minister, Honorable Mivisama Frempong, and solicited her support in our bid to maintain law and order in the country before, during, and after the election. And he also made a call or paid a visit on the Omahini of Bijabin traditional area, Dasibiru Tibuati.
Superintendent Sivas Arthur mentioned some loopholes that the IGP observed on his rounds of the commands and said they are working to address them.
He has expressed his interest and his satisfaction so far with almost all the regions. But of course, he also indicated that it can never be 100%, and there are still some more rules for improvement. So they should plug into the loopholes and ensure that they attain 100% state of preparedness. In that case, then we'll all be sure that everything will be okay.
Okay, but what are some of the loopholes he observed?
Wherever he went, they did a simulation exercise on crowd control because, you know, this election lends itself to crowd activity. So it is something that we have been preparing on to handle in case some come up for handling. And in some of the simulation exercises, he identified a few loopholes as what we call the force continuum, when to use which force. In one or two, he observed that one or two levels of forces were escaped, or the arrangement of personnel to face the threat was a bit out of place. So he pointed them out to them. He also looked at their logistics and equipment, and where some equipment were lacking, he told them and said that they were going to ensure, the headquarters was going to ensure that those equipment were brought back to augment what they have. Right? And already the earlier regions that we thought, they have had some of their concerns already solved.
Okay, so how many regions left now? So the voter region and then?
Now we are on the way to the voter region. Very soon we shall be getting to the voter region.
Oh, okay.
We will left with Accra region and Tema region.
Director of Public Affairs of the Ghana Police Service, Superintendent Sifus Arthur.
A former chairman of the National Media Commission, Cabral Blay Amihie, has attributed the recent abuse of media platforms to the lack of a clear-cut national policy to regulate the media. He said a broadcasting bill before Parliament must be speeded up to provide professional guidelines for media practice. He said the issue of politicians owning media houses in the country must be addressed, since their unprofessional interferences in the operations of the media is fueling hate speech in Ghana. Mr. Blay Amihie was speaking at a forum in Accra organized by the Media Foundation for West Africa. Jonathan Thompson reports.
The forum comes on the heels of recent intemperate language by panelists on a discussion program on a local station against some judges in the country. Mr. Cabral Blay Amihie said ownership of media houses by politicians does not augur well for professional practice, since the owners tend to dictate how things are run and use their media platforms to propagate their own agenda. He said it is rather unfortunate that young media professionals of today eschew decorum and respect for elders while commenting or writing articles. He called on bodies like the NMC, GGA, GIBA and PRIMPAC to step up their regulatory powers to sanitize the media field, especially in this political season. He also called for the speedy passage of the broadcasting bill, which he described as the answer to media irresponsibility in the country. Recounting the causes of genocide and atrocities in Rwanda, the executive secretary of the Rwanda Media Commission, Emmanuel Mugisha, said Ghana should not take hate speech, whether in the media or on any political or social platform, for granted. Another media expert from Kenya, Henry Minor, said media organizations must be run by trained professionals and not left in the hands of politicians or business owners. He said the public need to be educated on how to analyze messages they receive from the media in order not to swallow everything hook, line, and sinker. Jonathan Thompson reporting. Now to power. The recent power challenges facing the country will see an improvement as government takes delivery of more than 5,000 barrels of light crude oil to fire the thermal plant. Speaking on Behind the News, a communication officer at the Ministry of Power, Mackintosh Isman Edu, said the light crude oil will be used to fire the plant at the Tema enclave, but added that the measure is not a guarantee that the country is out of the power challenges. He said the ECG is not able to come out with a timetable for the recent load shedding because power generation currently is not consistent and the generation capacity keeps changing from time to time.
I can't stick my neck out and say we are out of the woods yet, but I can say within this coming days, we should see some improvements because, as you just said, we've taken delivery of about 560,000 barrels of light crude oil in Tema. Last week, we took delivery of 450,000 barrels in Takoradi for the Abuazi enclave. Now, this delivery goes to the Tema enclave, and once we have this crude here, it means the power plant in the Tema enclave, which relied solely on light crude oil, that had to be shut down because there was no crude. We have to start firing and they'll feed into the national grid and hopefully there will be an improvement in generation.
I mean, how would the crude oil, for instance, solve the challenges being experienced in the sector to the layman?
The crude oil is a fuel and as you say layman, let me say, is the petrol for the power plants we use. So we have two types of plants we use in Ghana now. We have plants which feed to or which is towards solely on one sort of fuel, either light crude oil or liquefied natural gas. But then at a point in time, we saw the need to convert some into combined cycle so we could feed on either crude or gas depending on its availability. So the plants which have not been converted into combined cycle yet will have to be shut down or have to go off because of unavailability of the fuel they need. And that was why some plants in the Tema enclave, which fuel solely on light crude oil, had to shut down. ECG is unable to put out a timetable. As we speak, the power we are generating maybe 3 days ago. We are not generating the same power today. It's more. So it's not been consistent.
The communication officer at the power ministry, Mackintosh Isman Edu.
However, an energy expert, Kojo Poku, believes regulators in the power sector are not telling Ghanaians the reality on the ground. He said the country is generating below the expected capacity and the ordinary Ghanaian is not being told the truth.
My sister, it's a very sad day for Ghana. When you hear CROs or ministry talk like that, very, very, very sad day for Ghana.
Why do you say that?
Because the argument he was making for why we can't have a timetable. Come on, man. Let's be realistic. What is that? You see, this is Ghana. We are defending. People like to reduce conversation to a level they think that people don't understand it. 4 years ago, when even 200 megawatts were being shared, we had a timetable.
Mm.
My sister, as I speak to you, okay, the generation capacity in the country now is 1,379. Our peak demand is 1,963. And this is from the GRIDCO website. 600 megawatts difference. It has been fluctuating between 300 and 600 megawatts for the past couple of weeks. So why is he trying to now put dust in our eyes about this explanation he gave, that if there is a timetable and Canada is supposed to go off and Canada doesn't go off, isn't it better? Well, he is supposed to go off, and I don't go off. Isn't it better?
And he argues that this Dumko is short-lived, so we should be patient.
Patient with, no, so you see, last week, he told us this week. This week is gone worse. We are already on Wednesday going Thursday. It's worse. If you listen to Honorable Tetepe last week and the week before, they said this week it will get better. And you can see him from what he said that he alluded to the fact that we will not be out of the woods. Okay? He said that. We will not be out of the woods. So what he's trying to say is that we are not going to have, which is true. But the next question also is that someone's paying for all this cost. As residential customers, yes, you are now being asked to pay 9 cents per kilowatt hour. Crude oil, burning crude oil left, right, and center is costing the country not less than 25 cents per kilowatt hour. Even more, depending on the efficiency of some of these thermal plants, crude oil, burning crude can be as much as 30 cents. So who is paying the difference?
Well, Kojo, you've been listening to them. What do you envisage, really, are the challenges in the past?
What it is, my dear, is honesty in running a country. You don't run country with serious matters like power on the way it is being run. It is not done. Somebody is lying to somebody and they think that they can also lie to Ghanaians. But if you lie to me or you lie to Ghanaians, we are forever going to be in this darkness.
Energy expert Kojo Poku.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra. The major stories. EC appeals to NHIS registrants whose names have been deleted from electoral roll to go and re-register. Power Ministry takes delivery of more than 5,000 barrels of light crude oil to fire plants to ease erratic power supply. President Mahama inaugurates 9-member board of directors for Ghana Exim Bank. Ghana National Fire Service denies mass resignation within the service, and Turkish President declares 3 months state of emergency following failed coup.
President John Dramani Mahama has inaugurated a 9-member board of directors for the newly established Ghana Exim Bank. The board is chaired by Professor Richard Bani of the University of Ghana. Members include Mrs. Pearl Ishiamensa, formerly of UT Bank, Joseph Enimil Ama of Enimil Group of Companies, and Dr. Nana Apeji Dakwawasu of the Ghana Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Other members are Dr. Johnson Isiama, Second Deputy Governor of the Bank of Ghana, James Atiga of the Ghana Export Promotion Authority, Emmanuel Mamra of the Ministry of Trade, and Samuel Arkhurst of the Ministry of Finance. The acting chief executive of the bank is Dr. Bafose.
Your Excellency, Mr. President of the Republic of Ghana, on behalf of my colleagues who have just been inducted into office, and on my own behalf, I wish to express our sincere thanks to you for appointing us as the first foundation board members of Exim Bank Ghana, and we promise to work assiduously to build solid foundation for the bank that will be a vehicle for the transformation of the economy of this country through an export expansion, growth in the economy, job creation opportunities. We cannot fail, Mr. President, we cannot fail you because of the confidence you place in us. We cannot fail the people of this country. We thank you very much, and we promise to deliver on the mandate of the bank. Thank you.
You heard Acting Chief Executive of the Exim Bank, Dr. Bafose.
There are fears reopening of senior high schools for the 2016-2017 academic year will be delayed due to non-payment of arrears of absorbed fees, feeding grants and scholarships, among others. The Conference of Heads of Assisted Secondary Schools, CHAS, expressed this sentiment yesterday at an emergency meeting in Accra, saying the schools cannot reopen because they are cash-strapped. The president of CHAS, Cecilia Kwachi Kofi, called on the Ministry of Education and the relevant agencies to address the challenges. She said a lot is being spent on electricity, water and sanitation, while Government of Ghana grant for administration has also not been paid since 2011. Rosalind Kanyaglo has more.
Senior high schools across the country may not reopen on the 5th of September as expected, in view of some challenges facing the institutions. The president of CHAS, Cecilia Kwachi Kofi, identified some of the challenges which can undermine quality education delivery at the second cycle level.
Schools in Ghana are the envy of our sister nations in the sub-region. We need to fix that. If nothing is done as a matter of urgency, education in the second cycle schools in Ghana will suffer greatly. Some of the pressing issues are non-payment of GOT grants for administration since 2011, non-investment of teaching and non-teaching staff due to retirement, unpaid abroad fees and teaching grants, unpaid Ghana government scholarship for whole year, unpaid progressive reading scholarship. Schools are facing threats. Headmasters are being harassed from all corners. We are appealing to the Honorable Minister of Education, GM Council, and GM Management to expedite action on the consent ring.
Madame Kwachi Kofi described the 3 cities' 30 peso feeding fee per student per day as woefully inadequate. The conference called for an upward review of the current feeding fee, which was phased in 2014 as prices have shot up. Madame Kwachi said most schools are feeding students on credit and the food cannot even be described as a balanced diet.
3 cities' 7 peso per student, which attracts 17.5% withholding tax. This 3 cities' 30% is for 3 square meals. The decision at the meeting is that if these concerns are not met, particularly the absorbed fees and then the increases in the feeding fees, if they are not met, we cannot reopen school next year for 2016-2017 academic year. We are currently feeding the students on credit, and on the average, per the absorbed fees, government is owing each school not less than 100,000 Ghana cedis. If you add all the scholarships together, on the average, about 150,000 is outstanding.
Present at the meeting were heads of all senior high schools in the country.
Rosalind Ganyaglo.
Meanwhile, the Ghana Education Service has responded to consent of CHAS, saying it will address all the issues raised by the conference at the right time. Reverend Jonathan Better speaks for the service.
The threat to shut down schools over unpaid subsidy to senior high schools, information got into the ministry and the Ghana Education Service Director General's office this evening. So we want to announce to the public that tomorrow morning, the Ghana Education Service Director General will respond to their statement appropriately. We are ready to address the issue. They are also managers of schools, so we decided that tomorrow morning, we will respond to all their statements or their concerns.
Should we get to this point before you address their concerns? Because in their statement, they said that they have sent several appeals to the Minister of Education, Ghana Education Service, and little has been done about these.
So what I want to say is that Ghana Education Service of the Ministry of Education has not sat down and concerned about their grievances. We know what they are going through. We have done much, but we have not done all. We know that we owing some few subsidy which the government is making provision to set before their meeting. So assessing that management part on their issues, we taken a decision and we plan that this decision that taken will be known to them.
Reverend Jonathan Better speaks for the Ghana Education Service.
The Ghana National Fire Service has denied reports of mass resignation within the service, according to the Deputy Public Affairs Director of the service, Billy Anaglate. Only one junior officer resigned from the service and the purported mass resignations are not true. He called on the media to cross-check information before placing it within public domain. Ms. Anaglate spoke to Agatha Samwa.
They are not true. They are baseless. It is the figment of the imagination of somebody. If you look at the statistics that we have, 2015 and 2016, only one junior officer resigned, not even a senior officer. None of the senior officers has resigned. So if one person, 2015, 2016, has resigned, I don't think it's an issue that anybody to go and conquer the story and say that several people are leaving the service. It is not true.
400 fire officers. Where from the report then?
So, you know, we are in a society. There are people that are never satisfied with anything whatsoever. That might decide just to the image of anybody. We are looking at it directly that the people are just targeting the chief officer and looking at the progress of the service. When the services at this time have even been equated to the standard of international firefighting, I believe it is only people that are looking at it from that perspective and are deciding to just tarnish the image. So this statement is baseless.
But tell us about the working conditions of the fire service. Do you think that fire officers do not have any problem at all with their working conditions?
If we even just oppose the 2015-2016 or the current management to the past, even in just 2016, 2,820 junior officers have been promoted. Some of them have been on the rank for 12 years, 13 years, 11 years, and 10 years. But they have just been promoted just within this year. And 502 senior officers, which is a percentage of 50 to the current level of the fire service. So what else do we need? They were talking of even uniform, that they were forced to buy uniform, which is also not true. This year alone, we had consignment of 2 uniforms given to every fire personnel. 2 times this year alone. What again would anybody look at when you are looking for good service or any condition of service in any organization? So it is not true that the people are forced to buy uniform.
So you are saying that we should treat this report with a pinch of salt?
It has no basis. That's a concordant story from somebody. Because I believe strongly that in any organization where 50% of the total strength could be promoted in just in a year, and the last bird of the senior officers is also yet to be given promotion, then I don't see how anybody within the same organization will just look at it and concord this story.
That was the Deputy Public Affairs Director of the Ghana National Fire Service, Billy Anaglete.
And in news elsewhere, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has declared a state of emergency for 3 months following the failed coup. Speaking at the presidential palace in Ankara, President Erdogan vowed that all the viruses within the armed forces will be cleansed. The declaration could be used to extend the detention of nearly 10,000 people rounded up since the failed coup.
And in sports, Accra Hazel Folk yesterday consolidated their hold on top of the league table after beating Brigham Chelsea 1-0 at the Accra Sports Stadium. It was a hard-fought victory for the Phobians, who would remain thankful to substitute Kwame Kizito, whose goal in the 78th minute broke the stalemate. Now, here are the results of other matches played. Greens FC 2, Ibiana Stars 0, Bichem United 1, Ashgold 1, Inter Allies 1, Wafa 0, Midyama 1, Liberty 0, New Edubiasi 0, Hazakas 0, All-Stars 2, Tichiman City 0, and Dwarfs 4, Asante Kotoko 1.
And now to end the news, the main points again. The Electoral Commission has appealed to NHIS registrants whose names were deleted from the electoral roll to go and re-register. The Power Ministry has taken delivery of more than 5,000 barrels of light crude to fire plants to ease the current erratic power supply. And Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has declared a 3-month state of emergency following the country's failed coup. The news was presented by Eugenia Sumedisechi
and Jonathan Thompson in Accra.